believe in me?
I don't.
What evidence would you have of my reality beyond that of your senses?
I don't know.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. You may be a bit of undigested beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. Why, there's more of gravy than of grave about you. Whatever you are. Humbug, I tell you. Humbug.
Freeze program.
Very well done, Data. Your performance skills really are improving.
Your courtesy is appreciated, sir. But I am aware that I do not effectively convey the fear called for in the story.
Well, you've never known fear, Data. But as an acute observer of behavior, you should be able to approximate it.
Sir, that is not an appropriate basis for an effective performance. Not by the standards set by my mentors.
Your mentors?
Yes, sir. I have studied the philosophies of virtually every known acting master. I find myself attracted to Stanislavski, Adler, Garnoff, proponents of an acting technique known as the method.
Method acting? Huh? I'm vaguely familiar with it, but why would you choose such an old-fashioned approach?
Perhaps because the technique requires an actor to seek his own emotional awareness, to understand the character he plays.
But surely that's an impossible task for you, Data.
Sir, I have modified the method for my own uses. Since I have no emotional awareness to create a performance, I am attempting to use performance to create emotional awareness. I believe if I can learn to duplicate the fear of Ebenezer Scrooge, I will be one step closer to truly understanding humanity.
Captain Picard, please report to the bridge.
On my way, number one.
Data. The moment that you decided to stop imitating other actors and create your own interpretation, you were already one step closer to understanding humanity.
Data, dressed in the nightgown and cap of Scrooge, smiles quirkily to himself and turns away. Picard enters the bridge.
We received an emergency transmission from the science station on Vantax 2, sir.
What's the nature of the emergency?
Uncertain. The signal was interrupted.
Contact reestablished with Vantax 2, sir.
On screen.
I am Dr. Howard Clark. Director of the science station here on Vantax 2. Thank you for responding.
Mr. Wall, can you improve our reception?
Trouble is at the transmission source, sir.
Dr. Clark, we are barely able to maintain communication with you. Can you boost the level of your power source?
I'm afraid not, Captain. It's under attack.
Under attack?
There's a mob outside the door trying to break into the station. The planet is in chaos. Looting, fires, mass hysteria. These people are all convinced that their world is coming to an end. Tomorrow. Please, we must have your immediate...
The image disappears and Riker and Picard stare in shock at the screen. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Devil's Due, voiced by Marston York. The Federation Starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown, streaming flat planes of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy as a comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. Theme by Jerry Goldsmith and Alexander Courage. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up, explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light.
Captain's log, stardate 44474.5. We have reached Ventax 2 and are attempting to contact the Federation Science Station, which at last report was under siege by an angry mob.
They are transmitting again.
On screen before we lose contact.
Enterprise! Enterprise, do you read me? Emergency! We need help!
Dr. Clark, this is Captain Picard. We are ready to beam you and your team on board. Transporter room 3, lock onto the science team, beam them aboard.
I'm locked onto Dr. Clark. I can't pick out the others. It's a mess down there.
Then beam Dr. Clark aboard by himself.
Yes, Captain.
Mr. Worf, will you escort him to my ready room?
Aye, sir.
Number one. Try and make some sense out of this mess.
In his ready room, Picard takes two cups of tea from the replicator.
The people in Ventax 2 live in an agrarian society. At least they do now.
What do you mean now?
That's an interesting anthropological question, one we were studying before the trouble began. In the distant past, the Ventaxian culture had achieved an extremely advanced scientific level, but a millennium ago, they turned their backs on technology.
They reverted to a simpler existence.
And remained that way for centuries. The first contact was made by a Klingon expedition 70 years ago. Since then, the new technology has been available to the Ventaxians. They simply are not interested in it. Virtually no social problems to be found on this planet. In fact, I would have described their society as idyllic until...
Until what, Doctor?
It's hard to believe. Several years ago, Akost Jared, the Ventaxian head of state, began to grow increasingly obsessed with the legend of Ardra. With each passing day, he grew more anxious and he'd talk about little else. Ardra is coming back. Ardra will be here soon. We must all leave before Ardra returns.
And who is this Ardra?
For all intents and purposes, the devil. Captain, these people actually believe they've sold their souls to the devil.
Record to Captain Picard.
Have you located the science team, number one?
Evidently, they're being held hostage.
Hostage?
There's a Ventaxian leader on the view screen, name of Akost Jared.
Doctor.
Picard strides thoughtfully out onto the bridge with Dr. Clark close behind. They stand facing the screen, looking at a young man in a rich blue tunic.
Jared, you must secure the release of my people. I can't believe you would allow this.
Howard, my friend, you know how I abhor all acts of violence, but events are out of my control.
I'm Captain Jean-Luc Picard. Is there nothing you can do?
As the hour of Ardra's return approaches, fear has overwhelmed my people. It has been 1,000 years. The prophecies have come true.
Prophecies?
Ardra's arrival was supposed to be heralded with the shaking of the cities. Now, there has been a series of geological tremors on the planet, minor quakes, nothing extraordinary.
Poorly timed.
There is more. For several nights, there have been visions of Ardra, again, just as the contract said would occur before her return.
Visions? You mean dreams?
No, she has appeared. I myself have seen her.
Jared, tell your people, if the hostages are released, I am prepared to offer Federation assistance should this Ardra return.
I'm afraid it will not matter. They know your weapons are useless against her, Captain. I will make inquiries concerning the hostages. The innocent should not suffer for our sins, but I can make no promises.
This situation is deteriorating, Captain. The people are reaching levels of anxiety that could lead to suicide.
Mr. Data, what do we know about this Ardra?
She is a cornerstone of Ventaxian theology. It seems Ardra came to Ventax II and promised 1,000 years of peace and prosperity for a price. Upon her return, she would enslave the entire population. In Ventaxian culture, it is considered bad luck to speak her name out loud.
There are ancient scrolls concerning Ardra that are stored in the Athenian vault. Scholars study them. They have been of little public interest until recently.
I think I should meet with this Akost Jared. He's still our best hope for a release of the hostages.
I'll arrange to have him transported on board.
No, I'm going down to the planet myself.
Sir, you can run the risk of being taken as an additional hostage.
Mr. Worf, you and Mr. Data will accompany me. Mr. O'Brien can keep a lock on our communicators. He can pull us out if necessary.
Yes, sir.
Counselor, I want you to come too.
On Mentax 2, people run around in panic. All around the spacious flat city, plumes of smoke and fire billow into the clear blue sky from burning buildings. Walkways, pyramids and spires run the length and breadth of the city. In a great hall, four figures materialize behind Jared.
Captain Picard, you shouldn't have come. Your life is in danger here.
You must calm your people. There is no reason for panic.
No reason?
If these tremors have frightened them, leading to this hysteria over Ardra, let us reassure them.
We have scanned the tectonic stress patterns of your planet's crust. There is no evidence that the quakes pose any kind of threat.
No, no, no. The threat is from Ardra. You cannot understand.
If you can at least help us to locate our people.
She is here.
Nonsense. It is only...
A woman dressed in black appears beside them.
Time's up. I'm disappointed. I expected my tenants to take better care of my property.
Ardra, most powerful one. I am Jared, leader of Ventax 2. I take responsibility for all that displeases you. Please, do not punish my people.
Punish? Who said anything about punishing? I merely expect your end of our contract to be upheld.
Thank you, Ardra.
And don't talk like some ancient prophet around me with these and thous and most powerful ones. It was appealing for a few centuries, but I bore easily. And stop cowering. When I want you on your knees, I'll let you know. Much better. A fine example for the others. Who would you be?
I'm Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Federation Starship Enterprise.
Keep up the good work. Now, the first thing we'll need is an accounting of all you've been accumulating for me. This form will provide guidelines for a full census of the population, with emphasis on productivity and economic forecasts.
Who are you?
My, you are forceful, aren't you? Good. I like my men to be forceful, at least at the start.
If your intention is to intimidate, you're not succeeding.
That's all right. I like a challenge.
An entire planet has been terrorized because of the suggestion that you're going to enslave the population.
Well, it's true. Of course, I wouldn't put it so melodramatically. It's just a standard contract with an unusually long term.
So you do purport to be the mythic figure, Ardra?
I have many names, my pale friend. I am Mandora in the Berusian cluster, Torak to the Drellians. The Klingons call me Feklar.
You are not Feklar.
But I am. I am the guardian of Greythor, where the dishonored go when they die.
But here on Ventax 2, I am called Ardra. The same Ardra who negotiated a contract with these people 10 centuries ago today. Oh, you doubt me. A non-believer. Really, Jean-Luc Picard of the Federation Starship Enterprise, no doubt you have traveled the galaxy, encountered a diverse universe of creatures. Is there no room for the likes of me?
I've encountered many who are more credible to be called the devil than you.
The devil? Now, there's one I haven't heard in a long time.
You claim you visited this planet 1,000 years ago and negotiated a contract?
That's correct.
I would like to see that contract.
Akos Jared stands beside Picard in a dusty, cobweb-filled room. Around them, an attendant lights candles as another puts two books and a roll of paper on a table.
The Scrolls of Ardra, Captain.
A long-winded description of a very simple business arrangement. I did away with their wars, famine, and economic ruin, and provided them 1,000 years of paradise. My terms were clearly stated. They went into this with their eyes open. I'm sure you'll find everything is in order.
You won't mind if I don't take your word for it. Jared, with your permission, I'd like Mr. Data to review these scrolls thoroughly.
It is no longer my decision, Captain.
I have intrigued you, haven't I, Picard?
I am only here to secure the release of the Federation hostages.
Hostages? Is this true?
Yes, Ardra. Panic gripped the people as the time of your return grew closer.
Yes, I do have that effect on people. See that the hostages are released. Now?
Immediately.
Let us not cloud this with bit players, Picard. You will not leave because you find me irresistible.
Ardra disappears.
Enterprise, advise Dr. Clark that the hostages are being released.
This is Clark. You did it, Captain. Thank goodness.
Goodness had nothing to do with it. Three to beam up. Mr. Data will remain on the planet's surface. Data, I want a complete report on the contents of these documents.
I refuse to abandon this planet to that woman. Energize.
Picard calls a meeting on the Enterprise.
Could she be another refugee from the Q Continuum?
For that matter, could she be Q?
Q would never bother with contracts.
Or economic forecasts.
I noticed that too, Counselor. I have the distinct impression of being in the presence of a flim-flam artist.
But her powers?
Her powers are at the best unclear. Think about it, Mr. Worf. Transporter technology can make things appear and disappear. The illusion that she can transform herself into a Klingon creature could be created by holographic projection.
And creating a minor tremor could be the result of a low-frequency tractor beam projected against the tectonic plates.
We are capable of recreating all of these events, just that she dresses them up and she delivers them with more dramatic flair.
Like a magician.
Exactly.
She has an incredibly focused mind. It was virtually impossible to sense any deception, or anything else for that matter.
The best magicians will never let you see what's up their sleeve, Counselor.
She must be tapping into some sort of power so as to produce those effects. She's not hiding that up her sleeve.
Number one, I want you and Mr. Worf to run high-resolution scans of this star system. Look for a ship, base of operations, anything large enough to generate that power. Mr. LaForge, accompany Dr. Clark back to the science station. See if you can trace the origin of these tremors.
Walking down to his command chair on the bridge, the captain stops and stares at Ardra in his chair with her feet up on a console.
Your chair offers a lovely view of my planet, Picard. Come, sit with me.
Either leave my bridge, or I will remove you by force.
By force? You disappoint me. You didn't strike me as that sort, Picard. But by all means, try.
Mr. Worf.
Worf strides towards Ardra. He staggers back as a force field blocks his path. Starting forward again, Picard stops him as Dr. Crusher scans Worf's body. Ardra slowly stands and slinks towards Picard, gently stroking his hand.
I was really hoping you'd try it. Yourself.
Transporter room 3. Lock onto the intruder and transport her to the planet's surface.
Aye, sir.
Ensign, put up the shields until further notice.
Yes, sir, Captain. Whatever you say.
We are not impressed with your magic tricks.
I pity you. We live in a universe of magic, which evidently you cannot see. Ah, my pale friend has returned. Have you finished examining the contract?
I have, sir.
Report, Mr. Data.
The contract agrees to deliver the people of Ventax II into the personal servitude of Ardra after 1,000 years of peace. I have compared the terms to the body of laws which govern the planet. The language of the agreement is correct in every detail, sir.
Such speed and accuracy. You're much too talented to be human.
I am an android.
Android? Of course. How wonderful. An unexpected bonus.
Bonus?
Yes. When the contract came to term, I gained clear title to the planet. Anything on the surface, in the air, or in orbit. So you see, the Enterprise belongs to me now as well.
I am afraid the contract could be interpreted in that way, sir.
Ardra slowly sits and a band of orange light whips around her. She disappears, leaving only the ensign she had replaced looking shocked and confused.
Captain's log supplemental. Although I consider this woman's claim upon my ship to be an empty threat, it has further inspired my determination to expose her for the fraud she is. Come.
You wish to see me, sir?
Yes, Mr. Data.
He gestures to a chair and Data sits.
A wise man once said, There is a sucker born every minute.
Barnum, sir. P.T.
I've been examining the dynamics of what used to be called the con game. Quite fascinating. Worthy of your study, Data.
Sir, do you believe Ardra is, to use the vernacular, a con artist?
Yes, I do, Data. And I believe it is our job to out-con the con artist.
Sir, I must point out that the Ventaxians did have 1,000 years of peace and tranquility, as promised by Ardra.
We can only speculate what happened on that planet 1,000 years ago. Maybe a Ventaxian leader saw the destruction of his society at hand, and he conceived this contract of Ardra to motivate change. Or maybe there was an Ardra of some sort who was the basis for this mythology. Who knows? The point is that somehow a fundamental theology was created which transformed this society, but in the process of change created this latent fear which has been passed down through generations. Data, from your own experience of performing Ebenezer Scrooge, you're aware how fear can be a very powerful motivator.
Indeed, sir. In the story, the spirits used fear to motivate Scrooge to reform his character.
And in the hands of a con artist, fear can be used to motivate obedience, capitulation, the exploitation of innocent people. And that is what I believe has happened here. And I intend to prove that. I need to find a loophole, some way of challenging the validity of this contract.
Sir, the language of the contract seems carefully chosen to avoid any loopholes.
Check it again, Mr. Data, and check every Ventaxian legal precedent for the last 1,000 years. We'll talk again in the morning.
Aye, sir.
Picard returns to studying his console as Data exits. Later, Picard is fast asleep in his quarters. The distant stars shine through the uncovered windows. Above his head on the window ledge stands a large bouquet of flowers. Picard lies on his back, a book open on his chest, breathing deeply. Suddenly, wind ruffles the pages of his book and a blue light fills the room. Ardra, wearing only a thin black gown, smiles.
Picard to bridge. Intruder alert. Picard to bridge.
Oh, I've arranged for a bit of privacy.
Picard throws off the covers and stands up, hurling his book onto the bed. He strides quickly past her to the door, but it does not open. She stands languorously in the doorframe, watching him.
Just the two of us.
This is becoming very tiresome.
Oh, come now, Picard. You know you find me tantalizing. Give in to your desires.
You know, there's nothing about you I find tantalizing. On the contrary, I find you obvious and vulgar.
Easily fixed. I can be your ideal woman, Picard. Prim and proper. And chaste, until I succumb to your charms. Or would your fantasies turn more toward a professional woman? One perhaps who wears a Starfleet uniform? Perhaps I could even be someone close at hand, yet unattainable. I can do anything for you, Captain. Anything you could ever imagine. I could give you a knight that would light fire in your dreams until you die, and you would reject me.
Oh, yes.
You shall regret that.
I think not.
Oh, but you will.
Captain Picard. Captain, I wasn't expecting you here.
Neither was I.
LaForge Enterprise.
Go ahead.
Worf, Captain Picard is here.
You'd better transport him back on board.
The captain? But I have no...
It's all right, Mr. Worf.
Ardra somehow transported me here. Will you beam me directly to my quarters?
Aye, sir. We're locked on to you.
Transporter is malfunctioning, Captain.
Some sort of interference. Checking?
Just have Mr. Data fetch me in a shuttle and have him bring along a uniform.
Did you say uniform?
Yes, I did.
Aye, sir.
Miss LaForge, Dr. Clark have made no headway. Commander Riker and Lieutenant Worf have picked nothing up on their scans.
Sir, I believe I have found an obscure precedent in Ventoxian law which may be of interest.
Yes?
The case involves a contract dispute over services rendered by a Klingon craftsman on the construction of a Ventoxian home. Because the dispute involved an alien culture, the parties decided that arbitration, rather than the courts, should resolve the issue. Both parties agreed to choose an arbitrator. It is the only known case involving an alien claimant.
That's exactly what I needed. Well done, Data.
Shuttlecraft 1 to Enterprise. Prepare for docking sequence.
Proceed, Shuttle 1.
Enterprise. Enterprise, do you read me? Enterprise, come in.
I cannot locate the Enterprise anywhere within one light year of the planet, sir.
I don't believe Ardra is capable of transporting the Enterprise a light year away. Keep hailing them, Mr. Data. Repeat on all frequencies.
Hey, I think we found something here. There's a sudden jump in Z-particle readings just about the time the Enterprise disappeared.
Where did it originate?
It was too brief to pinpoint.
But it could suggest a hidden power source.
Gentlemen, we need to find that source if we are to defeat this woman.
Well, if you can get her to perform a few more magic tricks like that one, we just might be able to track it down.
So I trust you have a bit more respect for me now.
What have you done with my ship?
I've done nothing with your ship. My ship is safely in my possession.
I do not recognize your claim on the Enterprise. Not on this world, for that matter. And in accordance with Ventaxian legal precedent, I call for an arbitration.
An arbitration? There's nothing here to arbitrate.
Oh, but there is. You're a fraud, madam. And I intend to prove that you could not have affected the changes that took place on this planet.
Do you not believe what you see with your own eyes? Your ship is gone, Captain.
An illusion. Magicians have been making things of all sorts disappear for ages.
Oh, you underestimate me. But then most people do. Until it's too late.
But if you are who you say you are, then you have nothing to lose.
I also have nothing to gain. I already have possession of this planet and your ship.
I am prepared to offer an added incentive if you win. I'll take you to the ruins of Legilium.
The Zatteral Emerald. You know where it is?
Yes, I do.
Oh. You are too clever, Captain. But I have enough jewels. If you wish this foolish arbitration, I will choose my own prize.
And what would that be?
You. By all rights, your body is already mine. But I want more. I want your heart, your mind, your soul, and I want you to give them to me without resistance, of your own free will. So, do you still wish to pursue this most dangerous game?
I agree to your terms.
Oh, Picard, I will enjoy you morning, noon, and night.
But we must agree to an arbitrator.
Very well. I choose Mr. Data. Any objections?
But Mr. Data is a member of my crew.
Of my crew. And he's an android. He is incapable of deceit or bias. He has no feelings to get in the way of his judgment.
Ardra, before he responds, may I have a word in private with Captain Picard?
She looks slowly at the captain, her eyes lingering on his face before nodding regally to Data, who quickly leads Picard to a quiet corner.
Sir, I request you reject me as an arbitrator.
Why?
Ardra is right. If I am chosen, I will perform my duties without bias or sentiment. I cannot guarantee I will deliver a verdict in your favor.
Data, where else on this planet can I find someone she cannot intimidate?
Sir, I will have to follow the rules of conduct for a Ventoxian jurist.
I understand. You'll make a fine judge.
A thousand years ago, our planet was dying.
overcrowded and dangerous city-states warred unceasingly with each other. The air and water were polluted with industrial waste, and there was a constant threat of starvation and epidemic.
Then what happened?
And then you came.
Objection. There is no conclusive evidence that this woman ever visited this planet 1,000 years ago.
And I suppose you want 1,000-year-old witness?
That would be acceptable.
Jared, in the contract, does it specify how you would know me when I return?
Yes, by the date.
Anything else?
By the shaking of the cities and by the visions.
And all of these occurred on schedule?
Yes.
Thank you. Your Honor, I submit that I have established my identity as stated by the contract.
Captain Picard,
my interpretation of Ventaxian law suggests that under these circumstances, this is acceptable. Your objection is overruled.
But Your Honor...
Sir, I have ruled. Please sit down.
Abashed, Picard drops his hands to his sides and sits.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, when I first set foot on Ventax II, what did I offer your people?
According to the scrolls, you offered us 1,000 years of peace and prosperity if we would promise to surrender ourselves to you at the end of the term.
And why do you think they would strike such a bargain?
We had nothing to lose. There was no hope in sight.
Until I came along.
Objection!
I withdraw the observation. No further questions.
Your Honor, nothing in this testament proves that Ardra had the power to affect the lives of the Ventaxians. My opponent has failed to prove her case, and I move that her claim be summarily dismissed.
I find no cause to invalidate the contract at this time. The arbitration will continue.
Your Honor, Captain Picard, as a new visitor to my planet, has been a consistent doubter of my abilities. I would like to ask him a few questions, if I may.
It is highly irregular to question the opposing advocate, but I see no reason to deny it. Proceed.
Please do not take any offense to these questions, Captain. You know how fond I am of you.
Objection.
Sustained. The advocate will refrain from expressing personal affections for her opponent.
You do not believe my powers are real, do you?
No, I don't.
Then, sir, may I ask you to explain this?
The ground shakes beneath their feet.
You are out of order.
Or this?
Picard is suddenly gone.
The advocate will refrain from making her opponent disappear.
Or this?
She reforms as the devil.
Can you explain it, Picard?
Any more disruptions, and I will rule you in contempt of court. Is that understood?
I am sorry, Your Honor, but... can you explain it, Picard? Yes or no?
No.
I rest my case, Your Honor.
The decay rate of these Z particles make it almost impossible to trace the source.
I'm correlating the particle trajectories. They're beginning to align. Wait a minute. I have coordinates. 34 degrees north, 62 degrees east at an altitude of 210 kilometers.
That would put it in orbit above the western magnetic pole, running visual scan. Nothing.
This time, I don't buy the magic. Something's gotta be there.
Jared, you've described quite thoroughly the history of your people before and after Ardra's first visit, but I'm a little unclear about the change itself. Did Ardra simply snap her fingers and transform the planet into this paradise?
No. The changes occurred gradually over a long period of time.
Did she personally form the government that so peacefully ruled this planet for a millennium?
No. Historical records indicate a council was convened to assess our options. They drew up a new constitution, which the population later ratified.
I see. So she advised this council?
No.
No? Then she must have destroyed all the weapons on the planet.
No, our leaders did that. And they signed a treaty of non-aggression.
Well, then, let's move on to the environmental gains on Ventax II. How were they accomplished?
We shifted our economy from an industrial to an agrarian base. It was more ecologically sound.
But Ardra must have purified the polluted water and air.
No. The record shows there were a series of initiatives covering everything from atmospheric contaminants to waste disposal.
Did she not even pick up one piece of trash?
Ardra had left Ventax II before the environmental reforms began.
Forgive me, but it sounds as if, with a lot of courage, hard work, your ancestors changed this world all by themselves.
Objection. The advocate is drawing conclusions.
Sustained. I will draw my own conclusions if you do not mind. Sir?
No further questions.
Rebuttal?
Just two questions. Is there any doubt in your mind? Any doubt at all that if I had not intervened, the terrible conditions here would have continued? I remind you that you're under oath.
No doubt at all.
Then, as former head of state for the Ventaxian people, you are satisfied that I fulfilled my part of the bargain?
Yes, Ardra.
Thank you. Your Honor, what more can be said? Both sides agree the terms of the contract have been fulfilled.
Captain Picard, do you have any further evidence to present before I render judgment?
I believe my associate, Mr. LaForge, may be bringing the answer to that question. I request a recess.
Hi, Data.
Geordi? 1 hour recess is granted.
Jared follows Data as he rises and steps out. Ardra watches anxiously as Geordi and Picard talk.
Mr. LaForge, my reputation as a litigator, not to mention my immortal soul, is in serious jeopardy.
Well, whatever's been going on over here gave us exactly what we needed.
Have you identified the source of our power?
A cloaked ship.
She has a Romulan cloaking device.
More likely a bad copy of one. We picked it up on a wavelength stretch out.
The Enterprise?
Exactly where it's supposed to be. Ardra extended her cloaking shields around it, set up a subspace damping field to interfere with normal operations. I've isolated the frequency spread and penetrated the field.
Can you make contact?
Already have.
This is what I want to do, but we have less than an hour. Jared, you're a wise and experienced leader, and I assume that you trust your senses.
Yes, I would say so.
And all your senses tell you that this woman here is the most powerful force on this planet, don't they?
Yes.
And what would you say if I were to tell you that she has no powers whatsoever?
But we have seen her powers here.
That's right. And you will again.
Oh, yes. Ardra's magic. Jared, would you believe me if I told you that I could steal her powers and perform the same magic acts as she does?
I'm sorry, Captain Picard, but you are not Ardra.
No, that's true. I'm not Ardra. But I can create tremors just as she did.
Objection, Your Honor.
I think he deserves some leeway. Overruled. But that will be quite enough, Captain.
Of course. Ardra, will you do the honors and stop the tremors?
Of course.
Is something the matter?
I like the tremors.
Well, I don't. You recognize the same old bag of tricks? What about this one? Come back, Ardra, if you can. No? Fine, allow me.
Of all the impudence.
Impudence?
Impudence is pretending to be Fatlaw of Klingon!
Your leeway has run out, Captain.
Your Honor, I appreciate your indulgence. Allow me to explain. A team from the Enterprise has taken control of this woman's ship, now in orbit around Ventax 2. Thank you for your help, Number One.
Glad to be of service, sir.
They've been monitoring me on my communicator, executing a prearranged program on her ship's computer. A fairly ingenious combination of force field projection, holography, and transporter effects. Ardra controls her. Magic. Literally, by the blink of an eye. Centuries-old technology. An implant which permits the movements of her eye to choose and activate each illusion. Ardra once told us that she is known by many names. Well, at least in that, she was being honest. Her crew have admitted that she is known by 23 aliases in this sector alone.
You had no right.
Deceiving innocent people with her petty schemes for years. Ventax 2 must have offered her the greatest opportunity of her nefarious career. She learned of the myth of Ardra, studied it, and so expertly played on your fears that your people were ready to virtually surrender to her.
Your Honor, under the circumstances, I believe it is only fair that I release the Ventaxians from their obligation, and I will let them keep the peace they have, and I will just be on my way.
She tries to leave, but two Ventaxian guards block her path.
With the Advocate's withdrawal, the contract is hereby dissolved.
This arbitration is adjourned.
Thank you, Captain Picard. You saved our lives.
No, Jared. As I've tried to tell you, you saved your own lives a long time ago.
Jared nods in thanks and takes his leave as Data joins the captain.
Congratulations, sir.
Your Honor.
You would have had a lot more fun if you'd lost. Till we meet again, Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise.
She turns, smiling arrogantly, and leaves. Data and Picard exchange a look of reluctant admiration and turns across the court towards the other end of the hall. The end.